He's right. It is me this morning. Good morning. It's good to be with you today. I think I'm going to choose to be very grateful to be here, and I'm glad that you've taken time to join me. I know there's some people that could be, you could be off shopping today. You could drive to Dallas and shop, right? Thank you for participating in the program this morning. There's a lot of different topics I could discuss this morning, but of course I've got several that to me are very interesting, and what I want to do is I want to share this with you. 2 weeks ago I was reading a study that I found very, very intriguing. By the way, if you haven't heard this program before, it's called Health Essentials, and it's all about health. Now, obviously, if you don't know me, I'm probably fairly biased. Actually, I'm very totally biased. Any substance that's safe for human consumption that helps improve health, well, I'm for it. And you could probably classify that as herbs, food, fatty acids, vitamins, minerals. Those are a few examples. There's more things. And I'm also into natural treatments that do no harm. So here goes. I was reading a study about a group of mice, and I think it's probably with great wisdom they use mice instead of human beings to test these remedies on, or drugs. And in this particular study, they had mice from their cage or where they lived. They had them move down a corridor, and they had a choice. They could take the corridor that turned to the left, and if they turned to the left, they could find food. And, of course, what mouse or rat doesn't want to eat? Haven't heard of it. If they don't have food, what are they going to do? They're going to chew on plastic and wires and everything else. The corridor to the right, there's no reward, no food. So it doesn't take long for a mouse to learn that when they're released from their cage, if they take the corridor to the left, that results in food to eat, which is pleasure and fun. And plus, you need food to live. And you'll have to forgive me, I have completely forgotten the name of the drug they used. But there is a chemical that they injected into the mice that induces dementia, memory loss, Alzheimer's. This particular chemical, when they inject it, it's been shown to cause demyelinization of the nerve sheath, which is kind of like the insulating wrapper around all the nerves. And you don't really have to understand that, but that is not good. If you've ever known someone that suffered from a condition called multiple sclerosis, where they lose, you know, control of their body and they lose function, that's not a great place to be in. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. So in this particular study, one of the things they noticed is in the brains of these mice, they start developing what's called this beta amyloid. It's kind of a deranged, sticky, gooey, gunky waste protein. And when this protein builds up around the memory centers of the brain, what you have is you have memory loss. And so after the injection of this toxic chemical, the mice, they couldn't remember to turn to the corridor to the left to find their food. Enter a mushroom extract called lion's mane. You may want to look this up. Within 3 weeks of administering lion's mane, they were able to remove the beta amyloid plaque. You may not know much about a condition called Alzheimer's. And that's fine. But I bet you anything, you go to church with somebody that has the beginning stages of it. And of course, I don't know any human beings that are going to be able to escape some type of neurological decline as they age. It's just not going to happen. I mean, you tell me, how many people do you know that are 125 years of age and their minds are sharper now than what they were when they were, you know, 95? Well, that's probably not going to happen. I know that was kind of over the top, me saying that. But if you know somebody that's 80 or 85, I mean, you realize with each advancing or extra year that we age, the likelihood of us encountering some type of neuropathy or mental decline or deterioration of our brain is highly likely. And so it's not rocket science. By the time you're 95 years of age, probably, I don't know, I don't remember the numbers exactly, but it's probably 60% of all those people, they probably have some form of advanced dementia. And I just mean to the point where they cannot care for themselves, take care of themselves, make their own way, shop for their own groceries. They can't. They've lost that ability. And so there's none of us as we age that wants to lose our mental capacity. But in this particular study with the mice, when they introduced the mushroom extract called lion's mane, because if you look up a picture of it, you'll see exactly what I'm referring to. If this was a podcast on the internet where I had video, well, I would like load up a picture of lion's mane and show it to you so you say, oh, now I know why that's called lion's mane. But with this, it was able to dissolve the beta amyloid plaque. Now, I know that mice and humans are different, but we're both mammals. We both have blood. And so when they were able to harvest the brains of the mice after the lion's mane, I think it was for 3 weeks, it was able to undo that amyloid plaque deposition. I'm telling you, that's just too cool. So that's for your consideration. There are other studies that show it really improves cognitive function. You can just think more clearly. You can think better as you age if you take lion's mane. So you might want to look into that. Number next. Now, this is something that I've been thinking about recently, but when you find an article, it just really confirms, okay, how should I be spending my time? What should I think about? Should I devote my mental energy to this proposition or to that? So, the gentleman's name is P. Murali Doraiswamy. I hope I said that right. He's the head of the Division of Biologic Psychology at Duke University Medical Center, which the last time I checked, I think Duke University is a very prestigious university system. And I'm quoting him. And just listen to this. He goes on to say, if thankfulness, which I think if I, instead of using the word thankfulness, we could say gratitude, right? But I'm going to quote him. If thankfulness were a drug, it would be the world's best-selling product with a health maintenance indication for every major organ system. That's a fancy way of saying, when you're thankful, every organ, what I should say is every cell and tissue in your body benefits. A psychologist by the name of Robert A. Emmons from the University of California, Davis, and Michael E. McCullough from the University of Miami, they did an interesting study on gratitude, or if you want to say appreciation. What they asked of all participants was just to write down a few sentences each week on a sheet of paper, maybe a yellow notepad for all I know, focusing on particular topics. One group, they wrote about things they were grateful for that had occurred during the week. So they just wrote down what they were thankful for. I don't think that has to be too technically difficult, does it? You could say, I'm thankful for the rain that we had last night, or I'm thankful for being able to wake up this morning. I'm thankful for coffee. I'm thankful for the Bible. I'm thankful for Jesus. You could just keep going and going and going. So one group, they wrote about things they were thankful for that they had occurred in their lives that week. Now the second group, or a second group rather, they wrote about daily irritations. Okay, I think you know where this is going. And the third group, they wrote about events that had affected them. And there was no emphasis in the third group, whether it was positive or negative. They just wrote about something that had some effect on their life. After 10 weeks, of course, they did this for 10 weeks, obviously. Those who wrote about gratitude, they felt so much better about their lives. And they also exercised more. Oh, I'm sorry. They exercised more. I read that wrong from the study. So they exercised more. Now, wouldn't you say that's positive? Of course. And they had fewer visits to physicians. All because they wrote down things that they were grateful for that had occurred in their lives that week. Anyway, to make a long story short, those that were quite negative that wrote about daily irritations, well, they had the most problems. They didn't feel so good. Maybe that's why the Bible's proving to be more true than ever. Do everything without arguing and complaining, that you may become blameless and pure. Or another verse, in everything give thanks. That's kind of a tough one. Do you ever find yourself praying for expressing gratitude to God for things when they go wrong? And I can guarantee you, if you're living in this world, if something hasn't gone wrong recently, well, just wait, it will go wrong. Something is always going to go wrong. Another leading researcher in this field, Martin E.P. Siegelman, he's written several books, by the way. He's a psychologist at the University of Pennsylvania. He tested the impact of various weekly positive psychology interventions on 411 people, each compared with a control assignment of the same people writing about early memories. When their week's assignment was to write and personally deliver a letter of appreciation to someone who had never been properly thanked for their kindness, participants had this huge increase in happiness scores, with benefits lasting a month. Can you think of any drug that you could take one time and the positive benefits last for a month? That doesn't happen, folks. If someone goes to a doctor and says, I just don't like my life, I feel bad all the time, I'm having a hard time functioning, well, most likely they're going to be prescribed some type of antidepressant medication. And you know as well as I do, that's just not, it's not a once a month pill. So today is, let's just say today's Saturday. You don't take a pill just once and it's good for the entire month. No. If someone's taking an antidepressant medication or anti-anxiety medication or a pain medication or a blood pressure medication, you get the gist of what I'm saying. They take it every single day, sometimes more than once a day, sometimes many, many, many times a day, just to achieve some effect. Can you imagine, though, as simple as just writing a note of appreciation or thanks for someone that you should thank, that you haven't thanked, that the results can last for an entire month? Oh, boy. Give thanks with a grateful heart. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open. I would invite you to pick up the phone and call me at 903-586-5257. There's a phone line open. And if nobody wants to call me, then I'm going to go on to my next topic, which I think is still part and parcel of what's going on here. But we have a phone call, so we'll get the phone. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Morning, Dr. Morgan. I just got a question, and you can answer it. I know you did a study one time on melatonin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, now we take 5 milligrams each night, and we just wanted to know if it's all right to take it every night.
Do you feel a hangover when you take it?
Oh, no.
Okay,
no.
So you wake up in the morning, you don't say to yourself, oh, my goodness, I've been drugged.
No, sir.
Okay. No, that should be fine.
Okay. I heard you did a study one time or spoke about a study about it helps keep your youth.
Well, and you know, the first thing that popped in my head when you said melatonin, obviously, if you haven't heard this before, the studies on women that have breast cancer, there's a much higher occurrence of breast cancer when melatonin is of a much lower production within the human body. And so where melatonin tends to be higher, or what I should really say is more optimal, you find much lower breast cancer. So that's got to be kind of a powerful thing to think about, if you ask me.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Well, I'll let you go and let someone else get on there.
Okay, thanks for your phone call. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. There is a small gland toward the rear and center of the brain called the pineal gland. Even if a little bitty baby is born, it has a pineal gland, but that produces a hormone called melatonin. You didn't see what happened. I got all tangled up in the microphone just then. That's why I like radio. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I appreciate your phone call today.
What I'm calling about is I've had for several months my shoulder, my elbow, and my hand hurting. And I went to the chiropractor, and they got rid of the pain, but the numbness in my little finger and ring finger is where I'm having a hard time typing. Is there anything that I can help with that nerve?
Yeah, that nerve is called your ulnar nerve. They probably told you that, though, didn't they?
Yeah.
So you just have to find out where the nerve is trapped, and usually, have you ever heard the term funny bone?
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Well, are you driving down the road, or do you have a pencil and a piece of paper handy?
I'm driving down the road.
Well, could you just put it on an autopilot or cruise control, and that way you can just look down and grab your note? No, I'm joking, you know that. Okay. Well, what I'll do is let me just try to tell you this, because there's a very simple technique that you can probably do yourself that may correct that and get rid of that annoying numbness that you have in your pinky finger and your ring finger.
Yeah.
The technique is called flossing.
Okay.
You're probably thinking I'm talking about dental floss on your teeth and your gums. That's a good idea, but that's not what I'm referring to. I bought some flossing tape recently, and what it looks like somebody took the inner tube out of a kid's bicycle and cut it in half.
Because
it's about that thickness of rubber. So if you were to get on a website called YouTube, you could just type in flossing for arm pain and numbness.
Okay.
And it would come up with about two or three videos to show how you wrap your elbow. It's just for a couple minutes. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And it shows you how to do this compression technique. And when you wrap this these rubber strips around your arm to compress that nerve, then you do exercises where you just bend and flex and circumduct and rotate and move your arm in every position. But what it does is it squeezes all the fluid where the nerve might be impinged or entrapped. Now, I don't want to come across that this is like a complete cure, but I mean, a roll of flossing tape costs, what, $5? Maybe $6 if it's ultra expensive?
Okay.
And so you could buy it off Amazon or eBay or wherever you want to. It's fine by me. But at the very least, look at that technique, because you only leave it on there for a couple of minutes. I had a woman yesterday that had horrible tennis elbow, and she let me do that technique, and I just did a mild version of it. But she said it felt better immediately afterwards.
Wow.
So all you can do is try it, and there's like no harm can come to you. There's no drugs. It's not made of Tylenol. You know, it's not going to cause liver failure, so that's good.
Yeah. Well, I'll try that. I've, like I said, had it for 3 months, and I've got rid of the pain. They did like pressure points on my shoulder and neck and elbow.
I'm sure there was no pain with that, was there?
Yes, there was a lot of pain with that.
Oh, dear. No, I knew it would be. It hurts to work those things out, doesn't it?
It does. But, I mean, now I don't have pain every day like I had then. So the relief has been good. It's just I've noticed I'm really having trouble with my typing, and I do that all day.
Well, you've got this, you have a muscle on the inside of your forearm. It's a pronator, what is it called, the quadratus or whatever, but that's probably where that nerve is pinched in that muscle. But that flossing technique, that will squeeze all the inflammation out of it. It's a brilliant technique, and it's low tech, and I just think anybody can do it if they want to.
I can't wait to try it. Yeah, so everybody always goes, oh, you've got carpal tunnel. You're going to have surgery. And I'm like, no, there's got to be other things. And with him getting the pain out, there's got to be more.
You have to understand, you can wrap your arm up really tight, but you can't wrap this around your neck, and then you'll black out.
Okay.
Sorry, that's a bad joke. So I think that you'll be very, very pleased, but this is one technique for releasing that the tension upon that ulnar nerve that's causing the numbness in your pinky and your ring finger. And
well,
we can, and the thing of it is, you can move it down to your hand, you can move it over the wrist. It's
okay.
It's just very, it's very interesting. And I think when you watch a video, as smart as you are, you'll say to yourself, "Well, I can do that."
Of course, I can.
That see, that is the spirit. Way to go! Of course, you can. You can do it.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I hope that helps you.
Yes, I think it will. So I'll let you know.
Thank you very much, ma'am. I hope you have a good day and be careful on the road.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye. The phone line is once again open if you want to call and ask a question. The number here is 903-586-5257. Of course, part of me wants to pinpoint where that nerve impingement is. And usually, it's not hard to figure out. It usually hurts and recreates a numbness if you find it. Thank you so much for your phone call. How can I help?
Yes, I was listening to you last week, and I think you mentioned something about some lozenges or something that you could put in your mouth to try to help. I don't know if it was a bad taste. I missed just a little bit of it. I'm trying to quit smoking, and I don't know if you said it. Was it a sulfur tablet? Yes, I've tried.
No, that's one of them. There used to be a product that I could purchase from a company called Thorne Research, and it was called Sulfanil. I think that's what it was called. And unfortunately, the man that designed the product felt like he wasn't getting enough royalties. This is just a story I heard, and so he pulled the product, which it's sad because it's very effective at helping a person stop smoking. But I think the other thing that I may have mentioned to you, I know this is going to sound horrible, there's an herb called gymnema.
Yes.
And you can buy that in tablet form.
Okay.
And I think that's the greatest delivery system that you probably have for this. And there's a discipline issue that works with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you were to take a tablet of gymnema and say, okay, I'm tempted to smoke a cigarette, but I really want to stop.
Uh-huh.
If you suck on that tablet for 2 minutes, if you can just discipline yourself to do that before you put the cigarette in your mouth,
okay,
there's a chance it will help you break this cycle.
Okay.
And so that's one thing that you can do right there. And now, I read about a technique this week. It's illegal, though, but people do it all the time. But it's 85% effective at helping a person stop smoke cigarettes. They just stop totally.
Okay.
I just can't tell you over the radio. If you call, if you call me at my office, I could tell you, but I cannot say it over the radio. But it's completely 100% safe. It's not addictive.
Okay. Well, I've tried trying to the medication.
Well, do you know what the success rate is for Chantix?
I don't know.
25%.
Well, to me, I had just horrendous nightmares.
But that's a side effect of that drug. They're horrible.
Yeah, I mean, it was like slaughtered kittens and things. I mean, it was just like, where did that go?
Then I tried the gum,
and it put blisters in my mouth. I haven't tried the little mints they have now.
No, and those unfortunately, they... See, that the drug Chantix probably has one of the highest, you're not going to be surprised when I tell you this, but it's got one of the highest suicide rates of any drug.
Oh.
It should not even be allowed on the market.
Yeah.
25% success is like zero success, if you ask me.
That's true.
No, but there's one natural extract in nature that when they give this to people for 3 weeks, it has an 85% cure rate for smoking. And the gentleman that I learned this from, his name is Jordan Peterson.
Uh-huh.
And so if you type in Jordan Peterson on YouTube.
Okay.
And I don't know what the video's titled. I mean, I have an idea, but I don't want to say because I don't want it to come back on me. But it's on YouTube, and there's freedom of speech. But if you look up Jordan Peterson and maybe type in breaking addictions and maybe even cigarettes or alcohol or heroin.
Okay.
Just see what you come up with and just keep an open mind.
Okay.
But I guarantee you, if there was a drug that had an 85% cure rate for getting a person off heroin,
yeah,
then it would be the top-selling drug in the universe.
Okay, well, I sure do appreciate you taking the time to...
Oh, you're welcome. I'm really glad that you called today. You made my day.
All right. Well, yeah,
thank you.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Oh, Merry Christmas, and I'm rooting for you.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. I watched my dad smoke cigarettes. I can tell you, it's a tough habit to give up, isn't it? If you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Please feel free to call. Of course, if I'm being a little bit, you know, calling it for what it is, I don't think that they want to break the addiction. Never mind. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you today?
Hey, very good. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you so much for your phone call.
Hey, I got a, first of all, I love your show.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your help.
Oh, you're welcome.
My uncle has a cancer, started in his pancreas, and it's kind of just all over down there now. And he's not taking regular doctor their treatments, but he's just wasted away to nothing. He's just skin and bones. Tell me a way I can help him just keep his any strength up at all and maybe just benefit him some more.
Can I do that by telling you a story?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Dr. Paul Stamets, his mother called him one day on the phone. She said, son, I didn't want to tell you this, but I've got this huge mass in my breast. And he goes, Mom, why didn't you say something? She goes, well, I just didn't want to, you know, be a bother or trouble y'all. Anyway, he talks her, him and his twin brother say, Mom, we got to get you the doctor right now. And the oncologist tells her, he says, ma'am, you should have been here like 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago. And so she kind of feels bad, but you've heard of people doing that. They just did not want to go and get checked because they were afraid, right?
Yes, sir.
And so she's got this stage 4 breast cancer. It's metastasized literally all over the body. And I know that you've heard as well as I have and probably everybody else listening that once a cancer metastasizes, usually the treatments just go downhill and they're just not effective at all. So... The doctor says you've got about 6 weeks, maybe 12 at the most, to live. And, of course, Dr. Stamets is all shook up over this. But he's also got a highly, very keen scientific mind, and he looks at some articles. And he comes across an article of using a particular – this is the message that I want you to get right here. This is where we tie in together with your uncle.
Great.
And He approaches the oncologist, and I think because he has a lot of academic weight behind his name, because he's written like 25 books, the oncologist listens to him and says, okay, so what are you telling me? He says, well, I came across this article that, you know, maybe we could upregulate the immune system of my mother by giving her this mushroom extract. And the oncologist says, you know what? He says, I like that idea. He said, that might be the one way that this can start to turn around if we could just do something with your mother where her immune system could just do the job that God designed it to do and fight this cancer on its own. And they said, okay, we'll give it a shot. So there was a study where they had 50, I mean, she was just one of the women that was enrolled in the study. And I think she was either 82 or 83 at the time that she went to the doctor with this breast cancer. So She's not like 40 years of age where she's a little bit younger and more robust. She's 82 or 3, which is she's lived a little bit longer than the average woman has. And so the doctor says, okay, let's put her in this trial, and we're going to use a common chemotherapeutic drug called Herceptin. And if I'm not mistaken, that's a pretty common drug that they give people with breast cancer, or give women with breast cancer, excuse me. And so the doctor says, okay, we'll give your mother turkey's tail. Or it's an extract called turkey tail extract. You ever heard of turkey tail?
No, sir, I haven't.
I'm guessing they named it that because it looks like the tail of a turkey. It's probably fans out and starts going gobble, 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 gobble. Anyway, but to make a long story short, all of the women died in the study. And I know that's horrible. I'm not trying to be black and white and blunt, but I'm just kind of cutting to the chase. They all died. None of them survived the Herceptin or the cancer. None of them got over it, except one, Dr. Stamets' mama. She completely heals. The cancer resolves. All the tumors resolve and they go away. They can't find any trace of cancer. And they're saying, oh, my goodness. And, of course, the doctor says, I've never seen Herceptin work this well. And I'm thinking to myself, wrong interpretation. There's a different narrative going on here. Because you don't want to underestimate what can happen when you give the immune system a chance to work properly. And so,
right.
And so turkey tail, to the best of my knowledge, this was the only modification that was made besides the chemotherapy drug called Herceptin. But like I told you earlier, she mm-hmm. was the only woman that took the turkey tail, and the rest of them just took the Herceptin that I know of. And, you know, there's more variables. I just don't know any of the other details, so I'm just telling it like I've heard it.
Right.
And she's, I think she's, like, what is she, like 94, 95 today, and she's completely healed and resolved? But so I just want to give you a little bit different take on this.
Yes, sir.
And so if I can't, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just kind of thinking along, I know the... He's taking some Ensure. He's having a hard time eating, and he's in and food wise is would chicken soup and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Can we just keep liquids in him that way?
Yes, and we're on the same page here. So what I want to do is let's take off and run with your question. I'm just prone to being overly technical and just running with the topic. So I apologize for not answering your question.
Well, no, you're fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you. Here's what we want to play with. And you may have to – does he live close by?
Not really. He's Mesquite. I'm down here close to Palestine. But
No. Did you know that's where I live?
We're
going
to go pretty regular.
Well, do you know that's where I'm from? I'm from Mesquite. I'm a North Mesquite stallion. Do you know that?
Is that right? Well, I retired from Mesquite and down here working in East Texas now. So.
Oh, really? Well, hey, you and I, we got something in common.
Yeah.
Guess where I lived in Mesquite?
Where at?
Right across from Eastville College, right there on by Motley and Hyde Park.
Okay. Yeah,
you never heard of that street, have you?
I've been at that Whataburger 1,000 times.
Well, you know,
I know the area you're at.
You know what I used to do? There used to be a, right there on I-30, there used to be a Pit Grill. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
I was a boy, I used to go in there and take the 5 quarters, put them in the cigarette machine, and, you know, pull the long lever and get some Camel cigarettes from my dad and take them out to the car for him.
Oh, wow.
Hey, could I get in trouble? Could I get in trouble for buying cigarettes from my dad?
I'm like a hardened
criminal. The reason why I asked about where he lives is because what you could do is, or maybe you could talk to somebody and kind of help him out. They have what's called bone broth.
Yes, sir.
And he doesn't have the strength to make the stuff. But that's gonna play into maybe the chicken soup and stuff like that. But if you had like chicken stock or you had beef stock, if we use this, then in a blender, we could get white button mushrooms and just blend them up with some coconut milk and some butter. I want to give him something to upregulate his immune system, and mushrooms do that very, very well. And so this is not by mistake that women in Japan that consume the most mushrooms, they have absolutely the lowest cancer rates anywhere in the world. That is not by chance or happenstance, is it?
No, sir.
And so what we want to do is we want to start trying to upregulate his immune system to give him a chance to heal and to grow, because he can only lose so much weight before he kind of passes the point of no return. So if we could give him like a more calorie-dense soup.
Yes, sir.
See, your idea is brilliant. I love it. And so if it's chicken soup, that's fine. We could put a little bit of meat in there. But I think if you took some mushrooms and blended them up, and maybe coconut milk or maybe even a little bit of butter added to it, we could make this taste really good, and he could add salt and pepper to it. Man, I'm almost getting hungry right now thinking about this stuff.
I'm gonna have a bowl with him, I think.
Well, I tell you what, you tell me we're in Mesquite, and I'll meet you there, and we'll make it up.
Sounds great.
So if we can start getting him to sip on this, and please don't take what I'm saying the wrong way, because I can, you know me well enough, I can be a little bit blunt. I hate Ensure because it's just a boatload of sugar. But I'm for your uncle living and having dignity and having energy. And so what I want to do is I want to start doing whatever I can to help your uncle. So pancreatic cancer that's metastasized, you want to give him like a mushroom soup based on a chicken broth, stuff like that.
And when you say mushroom soup, it just the good mushrooms out of the vegetable aisle.
Absolutely,
not just a certain kind.
Yeah, well, the ones are going to be easy to come by. The one I would probably steer clear of is probably one called a portobello mushroom. I think it has a chemical in there that people haven't heard of called hydrazine, and if you don't cook it properly, it's just a little toxic. So, but if you go with the ones called shiitake,
yes, sir.
I am not sure how to spell that. So do not make me spell shiitake mushrooms today.
Wouldn't even ask.
But they have one called the white button mushrooms, and those are just extremely common.
Right.
And so if we can start, you know, blend this stuff up to make it easy on his digestive tract, oh, that would just be a godsend for him.
Yes, sir. And the SEAC tea, would that be too strong for him? He's in a real weak state? No.
And the thing of it is, with the SEAC tea, we can just dose it whatever he can tolerate.
Yeah, it says just tone it down if it is a little strong.
Yeah, exactly.
So we could just start really mild. Okay.
Well, I mean, everything has to be agreeable and doable for him, right?
Yes, sir.
But I think that we can make him some concoctions to help give him some strength. And so, boy, I sure am rooting for him. But the idea of mushroom soup and chicken broth, I think that's going to be a home run for him.
Well, that's thank you so much, Doctor.
You're welcome.
I love listening to you, and you're such a great blessing to everybody.
Do you know which county Anderson County is?
Yes, sir.
Do you actually
live in Garden of the Country right now? Last time you heard my mockingbirds talking today.
Wait a second. Did you say you have a pecan tree?
I do. You need some pecans?
I do. You know what?
I'll get some over to you. most of them turned out pretty good.
You know, you don't know this, but there's a pawn shop here in Jacksonville, and they have this sandwich board they set out by the street. They say, "We buy guns, gold, and pecans."
Oh, great.
So yeah, does that tell you what the price of pecans is?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're not as good as they hoped they were this year.
Oh, well, rats.
My tree made pretty good, and the crows love me here, so.
Well, they must be high quality then.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for your phone call. If I can help the other way, let me know, all right?
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, and God bless you. God bless your uncle.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day. I have a feeling there will be many people that will stop what they're doing and they'll start praying for your uncle as we speak, and they'll ask the Lord to bless him and to keep him and for his favor and face to shine upon him. That would be great. It's just no fun having the body weakened, but I mean, we're finite mortal beings, aren't we? The soul and the spirit, that's infinite. Good morning. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I had a question about cholesterol medication and side effects. I'm currently taking atorvastatin.
Mm-hmm.
Is a side effect of that nighttime urination? And what are the other side effects that you're aware of?
Well, the average length of time it takes to... this is just for medical research, but if you take a statin drug for 7 years, you get to develop a new disease because of it. It's called diabetes. And so the new research shows there's a high correlation of people that take cholesterol-lowering drugs for 7 years, I believe. It may be 7.2. I don't really remember the numbers exactly, but 7 is close enough. And what it does is it causes insulin resistance, which means your blood sugar is going to go up. And when your blood sugar goes up at nighttime, this means your body has only one choice. It has to dilute the sugar with water, so you have increased urination at night.
Okay, so after 7 years,
that's about the length of time for the average person to, once they take this cholesterol-lowering drug, they go, bam, they've got diabetes. You know what? I've asked many a person that developed diabetes after taking this. I said, did your doctor tell you that the side effect of taking this is developing diabetes? And they say, no. And even the woman that I talked to yesterday, I said, okay, how long have you taken this drug? And it was over 7 years, but she's developed, type 2 diabetes. The other side effects, and these are things that these are just simple thoughts that I have. There's a condition called rhabdomyolysis. It just means if you take a statin drug, it has a fairly good chance it's going to cause your muscles to break down. And when those muscles break down, the fibers kind of splinter off and they get in the bloodstream and it creates log jams. So it's very common for the legs to ache or to hurt or to be tired and weak. You just lose your strength when you take a statin drug. The other ones that I'm all on is if you take a statin, number one, study after study shows it does absolutely nothing to prevent plaque from building up in the arteries. I don't even know why doctors even mention that it would do that, because it does not do that. There are no studies that demonstrate that, but they tout it as if. Now, the one study that I've read that shows that there's some positive benefit, it says if you take 1,000 individuals and they take this drug that you're taking for 4 years, that's 1,000 people over 4 years, they're saying it can prevent one non-fatal heart attack. One. That's 1,000 people over 4 years. So that's a whole, so they're saying that's what the studies show, that it can prevent one non-fatal heart attack. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but to me, I would rather do something else.
What would you suggest natural remedies for?
Well, I have a sales pitch for you. Your body produces a hormone called insulin, and I'm sure you've heard of that hormone before, but it's a pretty powerful one. But insulin has just a tremendous influence over the human body. And so if you go to a doctor and you have your blood sugar measured, if it's above 80, then there's the highest probability you have too much insulin. And insulin does this. When you eat in such a way or your lifestyle is pretty sedentary, there's a good chance that your insulin levels are going to be a little bit higher than what you want them to be. And as the insulin goes up, it in turn tells your body to make extra cholesterol. And so anything that lowers your insulin or lowers your blood sugar usually brings your cholesterol back into good balance. Now, another point, guess what your body makes cholesterol out of? It's made out of sugar. And so there's always this delta inverse relationship in science. The more sugar you eat, the more cholesterol your body makes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I know. You see what an evil doctor I am today. I'm already hammering away on sugar, right?
Yes.
And that's kind of why I don't like that meal replacement beverage called Ensure. I'm not trying to deprive that sweet man's uncle from nutrition. But sugar is not the way to defeat cancer. It just tends to feed it and nourish it. So now here's the answer that you wanted. If I could convince you for about 3 to 4 weeks just to focus on eating meat and vegetables, if you told me you wanted eggs for breakfast, I know egg yolks are high in cholesterol, but that does not disturb me whatsoever. If you ate meat and vegetables as the bulk of your meals and you gave up grains and sugar, I bet you anything that your cholesterol levels would start to drop and you'd say, hey, my body's in a much happier, better place now than what it was 3 weeks ago.
Well, good. I appreciate that information.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I appreciate your call. I hope you have a good day, sir.
You too.
Thank you much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Give or take 10 minutes. No, actually more than 10 minutes. More like 15 minutes. There's 15 minutes left in the program. 903-586-5257. There's so much dogma concerning cholesterol that everybody thinks it's just evil and bad. But it's not actually. Yes, there are some forms of cholesterol that are bad, but cholesterol in itself is good for you. Can you turn your radio off? Good morning.
Morning, doctor.
Did you turn your radio down yet?
Yes, I did.
All right, good. Thank you, buddy. Go ahead.
I'm 78, been in good health.
I don't appreciate you telling me a
story. I don't appreciate that. That's
no,
tough.
You sound like you're more like 42.
I feel 42.
So I wish you wouldn't pull my leg that way. Hey, you know what? Your voice sounds strong.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have my blood tested every year, and if the testosterone, free testosterone, fell from 11 to 5.6, so I went in I've been put on testosterone cream and Flomax, which is an alpha blocker, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
What's your feelings or any information you can give me on it?
I think there's two or three things we want to talk about, and since you don't make me become super organized, I'm just going to, we're going to go with the flow, and whatever pops in my head, we're going to talk about, okay?
All right.
There is a family of vegetables. In this family, you've got broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, kale, radishes. Did I mention broccoli yet?
Yes, I eat those combination almost every day.
And what you do is, it's a timing issue. For most men, testosterone is supposed to be highest first thing in the morning. You've probably read that before. Mm-hmm. And it's much lower at the end of the day. Now, there is a hormone called estrogen. And estrogen is going to affect that 5-alpha reductase enzyme and aromatase enzyme. So the key is for men, if your last meal of the day was meat with broccoli, that would be how we could win with this, or Brussels sprouts or asparagus. And so what that does is those cruciferous vegetables, they contain sulfur compounds. I bet you thought to yourself, he's going to find some way to work sulfur into the conversation.
I anticipated that, yeah. I eat eggs, grass-fed eggs.
Oh, good. But if you had your cruciferous sulfur-bound vegetables at the end of the day, what that would do is it would do you a favor by more adequately, precisely, efficiently detoxifying estrogen, which is the problem. Because when estrogen goes up, testosterone tends to go the other direction. Now, the other thing that I would just say very, very simply, if I could only choose one technique to increase testosterone in men, you know what it would be?
What?
Exercise.
I lift weights.
Oh, that's awesome.
And mow about an acre and a half of grass by hand.
Really? You have a sickle and you're out there like they are in olden times just whacking away at it?
No, I motorized it.
Oh, rats. It sounded much more impressive with a big, long sickle. You know what I'm going to do today? If I'm walking down the alley and I see a man in a dark, dark robe carrying a sickle and he has bony fingers, I'm making a run for it, buddy.
You and me both.
I'm going to, but anyway, let me go on to my second thought here. I want you to pretend that in front of both of us, we have a long teeter-totter or a seesaw. Are you with me?
Right.
At one end of the seesaw, we're going to put a hormone called insulin, cortisol, and estrogen. I'm just going to lump them all in right there. At the other end of the seesaw, we have what's called testosterone and growth hormone, or I should say human growth hormone. And then we've got this balance going on within the body. So anything that causes insulin to go up, it's going to take cortisol and estrogen with it, but it's going to just drive down your testosterone, your growth hormone. And so there's another technique that you may not have heard of. I know you have. I'm just kind of trying to be funny, I guess. It's called intermittent fasting. And so one of the ways that you get your testosterone up is by trying to do things to lower your insulin. And so one of the ways of doing that, let's just say, for example, you have your very last meal of the day at 5 o'clock. In your case, it's going to be chicken salad made with broccoli. And so if you eat that at 5 o'clock and you don't have anything else to eat after that, from 5 o'clock in the evening all the way to 5 o'clock in the morning, that's going to be exactly 12 hours of fasting. If you wake up in the morning and you drink water right at 5 o'clock, if you go from 5 to 6, 7, 8, 9, if you go to 9 o'clock before you have your first meal a day, that's 16 hours of fasting. And there's some studies that show that growth hormone and testosterone go up even more if you can do it for 18 hours. I just want you to keep an open mind. And so if you waited till 9 or 10 o'clock before you had a cup of coffee, because coffee is going to cause your liver to metabolize, and that's going to increase your insulin and cortisol levels.
Never touch the stuff.
Good man. And so that's what you're looking at. Now, you've got to have one mineral. It's called zinc. You must have zinc to help break down estrogen and to process insulin better, but you've also got to have zinc in order to help your gonads to properly produce testosterone. There's a hormone that's produced by your pituitary. I think it's the anterior pituitary, called luteinizing hormone. And luteinizing hormone is responsible for causing your gonads to start generating testosterone. And so there's going to be some way we can figure it out. So when you go to your doctor and they do these tests, and you ask them, tell me exactly why my testosterone's low, what do they tell you?
Not much of anything.
So they're just into saying, here, take this gel. It's got testosterone. It'll help you out.
Right.
Have you seen a significant improvement since you started taking it?
Yes.
Are you pleased?
Yes. I did have a... I'm wondering if they haven't given me a high dose. I had a little reaction retaining water and cut back, and that seems to have...
You mean on the testosterone?
Yes.
I'm kind of curious about that. Well, let me ask you this. I may not have even answered your question thoroughly. What do you want me to help you with?
Am I doing a wise thing?
If you can hear the hesitation in my voice, let me just say this right here. You're 78 years old, and you're a very vibrant, strong, healthy man, right?
Right.
I know this is kind of a dumb thing to ask, but you've probably seen some of your friends that are of a similar age not fare as well as you, right?
Many.
And you realize you and I, we're not trying to be arrogant or proud or haughty. We're just kind of calling it for what it is. You're going to see a lot of people that are of a similar age. They've gone through a pretty terrible decline physically and probably mentally too, right? And so we want to find a way to unlock this mystery. Now, what I'm going to say is, let me jump off to a slightly different topic. You have a gland that sits just atop your kidneys. And this gland is called the adrenal gland, but it makes a hormone called aldosterone. Aldosterone has just a little bit to do with fluid in the body. And I think probably what has happened, is this testosterone supplement has probably adversely affected your aldosterone production. Now, this is where I want to tie it in. The adrenal glands, they make hormones that you need to be able to live and to breathe and have your very being, even if we can't pronounce them all. But you've got to have adequate amounts of adrenal gland hormones in order to help your body make what's called human growth hormone. And you've got to have human growth hormone in order to help, you know, establish proper testosterone levels. So there may be a little bit of a weakness that we've uncovered in your adrenals. Did you notice when you took the testosterone, did it make you any anxious or jittery at all?
A little.
But when you cut back on the dose, was it much less pronounced or you know, was it okay?
Oh, yeah, it feels good.
So what they may have done is they may have overdosed you just a little bit. Is it okay if I say they overdosed you?
Yes.
Okay,
that's
so...
what I think.
And so you know you've got to have the mineral zinc. There's a very...
What dosage? What amount?
You know, on the testosterone or the zinc?
Zinc.
Well, I would say you're probably looking at somewhere between maybe 30 to 45 milligrams, maybe 50 for a short season. Just trying to see if we can't kind of get you back up to speed.
Okay.
Do you have any cravings for sugar?
None at all.
Oh, are you a real human being?
Well, I do have to go and get my batteries charged occasionally, but...
How do I know you're not a replicant?
No, the Lord has blessed me.
He has. No, that's great. This is a great story, but... you probably have many things you want to continue to do with your life, don't you?
Right.
What's one thing that you're looking forward to doing?
So the zinc would then help the human health program.
Yeah, it will.
Hormones, which would help the...
Well, especially if you're low in zinc, that's where it's going to be like a godsend for you.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me one thing you're going to do today.
Well, I'm taking my sweetheart to see the Nutcracker.
What do you mean, the Nutcracker? Is this like at the Cowan Center or
ballet.
Something? Cool.
Nutcracker Ballet.
Cool. What a great guy you are. I love the music in the Nutcracker.
Oh, fantastic.
Do they do Swan Lake in that also?
No, that's a whole different opera.
See, there, you're a man in the know. You're very cultured. I love it. How long did you take ballet lessons when you were younger?
Until the other boys up from wearing the tutu, yeah.
Did you ever take tap dancing lessons?
No.
So
my ankles like that.
Well, I appreciate your phone call very, very much. I've enjoyed every bit of it.
Well, thank you for the information. I appreciate you very much.
I hope I helped you, buddy.
Have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas, and God bless you, man.
Bye.
Bye. All right. There might be as much as 2 minutes left in the program. It'd be time for a very quick phone call, and I apologize. Sometimes these quick phone calls, we don't really get into the topic as much as somebody wants or what they would like. But if I can, I'll just use the last 2 minutes. Well, no, let's go to the phone lines. That's more important. All right, you have less than 2 minutes. Go.
Yes, sir. I was wondering what's a good thing to drink or do to keep nice and healthy. I've been drinking lemon and lime water, and I've been pretty much healthy. I'm just looking for something to do to stay healthy.
Excellent. That's one thing that you should do is make sure the water you put the lemon and the lime juice does not contain chlorine, because those don't mix well.
It's water that comes off the roof. I'm off the grid.
Oh, you're off the grid, huh? So this is like a solar-powered phone, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I love it. So does that mean that you don't have, you just collect rainwater?
Yes.
Do you have any frogs out back?
Yes, I do.
They sound great at night, don't they?
How
long have you been off the grid?
A couple of years.
Do you love every bit of it?
Well, I don't like the summers. It gets hot.
Well, what do you do to deal with that?
Fan.
Really? Now, do you have some electricity?
Yes. Yes, like I said, I'm off the grid. I got solar panels.
Oh, cool. Do you mind just telling me briefly kind of what general area do you live?
Palestine.
Oh, like Anderson County?
Yep.
What is the deal today? Everybody's calling from Anderson County. It must be the antenna of the radio stations pointing right toward your house.
Maybe.
Do you live high? Do you live on a hill?
No. No, I live in the city.
You live in the city?
Yep.
See, I just knew you were going to tell me you live off the grid out in the country. That's okay.
Nope.
Cool. I love it.
Well, what can I do besides drinking water?
Well, if you had hibiscus tea or green tea, add that to your water. Those have very powerful health benefits.
Okay.
Good deal. Well, thanks for your phone call.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, you're listening to KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.